And open your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. So that's a wonderful kids' song. That's a wonderful song for anybody that loves the Lord. Amen. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E, what do you got to stand on? If you, without a Bible, you got nothing. Amen. Amen. The book of books, written by the King of Kings. Amen. Like the old preachers used to say, I'm still waving the King James, waiting on King Jesus. Amen. But they can wave their NIVs, I guess. I don't know where. I can wave them all the way back to wherever they came from. But I'm waiting on the Lord, and I'm waiting on His Word to call us out of here. And I'm looking at His Word right now on the pulpit. Amen. Luke chapter 19. Well, let's go ahead and pray again before we let the Word of God deal with our heart. Father, we love you and we thank you for the opportunity to read your Word and have your Word. I don't think we understand the magnitude of the gift you've given us in this Bible. And Lord, I don't think our little feeble minds can understand what you've given us. But Lord, help us to not just to read it and study it and hide it in our heart, but to take it seriously. Lord, thank you for it. Having your Word and the ability to come to you in prayer and go boldly to the throne of grace through the blood of Jesus Christ, and we just thank you for those things. Please bless your Word as we read it today and breathe on the message and help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 19. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured. See, they were Baptists. They murmured. Amen. When they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now before we get going here, I want to realize that, like we talked about in Sunday school, Jesus Christ's ministry, he was not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So his ministry before that cross was to Israel. His whole focus was on Israel. And you notice he says in verse 9 that salvation has come to this house, and he says this, that he is also a son of Abraham. So he's pointing out that he's a son of Abraham. He's pointing out an Old Testament name because we're in an Old Testament setting before Calvary. But I want to look at some things today that we can apply to us. And the first thing is Zacchaeus seeking the Lord. It says in verse 3, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. Well, I mean, there's a lot in that verse, really, if you unpack that thing. First of all, he was seeking the Lord. He wanted to see Jesus, who he was, and he could not for the press, because there was a multitude around that would not allow him to see Jesus. He couldn't look through, he couldn't see through all the people and all through the crowd to see Jesus. But he sought Jesus. He was seeking the Lord. And here we are in this world. And it says it because he's little in stature. I mean, we're little. I mean, we're nothing. In the eyes of God, I mean, compared to God, I mean, he is holy and right and true and good and righteous. And all of his judgments are righteous altogether. He's just an amazing God. And we're just nobody. Without him, we're nothing. But he sought the Lord. He wanted to see him, you know. And if you're going to seek the Lord today, you're going to find him in that book. You're going to find him in that book. You can't find him in the Mel Gibson's TV shows. You're not going to find him there. You're not going to find him in religion. You're not going to find him in the Lutheran church. You're not going to find the right Jesus. You're not. He wanted to see Jesus. He wanted a good view of who Jesus Christ was when he walked through there. And if you're going to get a good view of Jesus Christ, you're going to get it from a King James Bible. You're not going to get it from the Catholics. You're not going to get it from the Lutherans. You're not going to get it from the Presbyterians. You're not going to get it from the Methodists. You're not going to get it from the Jehovah's Witnesses. You're certainly not going to get it from the Seventh-day Adventists. You're not going to get it from most of the Baptists anymore. You're not going to get it from the world. You're not going to get it from Hollywood. You're not going to get it from these sports players that tattoo the Bible verses on their legs and put it on their shoes and put it on their necks and put it on their elbows, wherever they put it. You're not going to get it from them. You're not going to get a right view of Jesus Christ by reading the newspaper or listening to the news or CNN or Fox News or Rick DeSantis or Donald Trump or certainly not Joe Biden or any of those people. You're not going to get a right view of Jesus Christ. If you're going to get a good view of Jesus Christ, you're going to have to elevate. You're going to have to elevate yourself to that King James Bible, and you're going to have to get in there and find out who Jesus Christ really is. You're not going to get it from Joel Osteen. Joel Osteen's, oh, he's a God of love, and we just love, 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 love. And I don't want to upset anybody, and I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Well, people's feelings are going to be hurt real bad when they're cast into a lake of fire for eternity because nobody gave them the truth. God is a God of love, but he's also a God of judgment. Zacchaeus, he wanted to see who Jesus Christ was. He wanted a good view of Jesus Christ. Do you? I'm not just talking about being saved. You want to know who he really is to walk with him. You notice it cost him something to get a good view of Jesus Christ? He had to climb that tree. He had to put forth some energy to get a good view of Jesus Christ. If you're going to get a right view of Jesus Christ, you're going to have to put forth some effort. Amen. You're going to have to put forth some effort in prayer. You're going to have to put forth some effort in Bible study. You're going to have to put forth some effort in daily Bible devotions. You're going to have to put forth some effort in studying to shew yourself approved unto God. Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you're going to see the right view of Jesus Christ, you're going to have to put some effort into rightly dividing. I mean, we talked about this in Sunday school. Here we are, we're looking at this thing, and you know, we got the Old Testament law, we got the death of the testator when his blood was shed so we could have a New Testament. We're saved by grace through faith. For by grace ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's the church age. You know that ends at the rapture? The tribulation time, these people, if they take the mark of the beast, they worship the beast, they're going to hell. It's a time of Jacob's troubles. You get over here to the millennial reign, they're going to rule, Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign with a rod of iron. They're going to go to see him, they're going to visit him on a regular basis, or they won't get rain. Their people will be in trouble. There's going to be a judgment over here in this millennial reign that a lot of the Baptists try to apply to the church and talk about the sheep and the goat nations, and it's a judgment of nations looking at how they dealt with Israel in the tribulation. You want to see who Jesus Christ is? Oh, he's just the Savior. And we just sing, oh, Jesus, he's my brother. He's my brother. Okay, come on now. Let's see who he really is. He's the Word of God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And in John 1 tells us it was Jesus Christ. And the Word became flesh and dwelled among us. He's the Creator. You want a good view of Jesus Christ? You're going to have to climb that tree. He's the Creator. He's the darling Lamb of God, which took away the sins of the world. He's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. He is the only one that could pay our sin debt. He's the one that went to the Father on his knees and said, if there's any way, this cup pass from me, but not my will, but thine be done. That's paraphrased, but he said, your will be done. Sweat and blood in the garden. He's the one that went to Calvary and laid his life down and shed every ounce of his blood for your sins and mine. That's who Jesus Christ is. He's the one not only died and was buried, but he's the one that rose again. Amen. He not only laid his life down, but he had the power to take it up again. Amen. He's the one that called Lazarus out of the tomb after 4 days, after they said, well, you call him out now, he stinks. He's been in there 4 days. And he said, no, watch this. And he called him forth and he come out. You know what he was showing them? I'm God. I have power over these things. And then he raised himself from the dead. That's Jesus Christ. But that's not the only part of Jesus Christ. He's coming back. He's coming back. And guess what? You want the right view of Jesus Christ? You got to rightly divide. You got to understand the rapture. You know what he does? He calls his bride out. That's us. And then he comes back at the Battle of Armageddon and defeats the devil and his army. Cast the beast and the false prophet in the lake of fire. Bind Satan for 1,000 years. Jesus rules and reigns for 1,000 years with a rod of iron. Perfect rule and reign on this earth without the devil's interference. And then he looses the devil, and the devil comes up here, and he gets all the people all around the world to turn against Jerusalem and God's people. And God, Jesus Christ, God himself, calls fire down from heaven and devours them. Oh, love, 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 love. Yeah, God's also a consuming fire. The Bible says he's a man of war, and Jesus Christ is God. I wouldn't want to be in the Jehovah's Witnesses' shoes. I got enough problems of my own, but I wouldn't want to be in their shoes. When they're rejecting Jesus Christ as God, when they're rejecting salvation in the church age, trying to work their way, if they'll just hang on a few more years, they'll be right, because they will be working their way then. But right now, before the rapture, call on Jesus Christ, trust him and him alone. Trust in the blood atonement. But Zacchaeus, he wanted to see who Jesus Christ was, and he put the effort out to do it. Look at verse 4. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore to see him, for he was to pass that way. He knew where to find Jesus. And like I said, you're going to find him. You're going to find him on your knees in prayer and in this book. You'll find out who he is. Who is he really? You know, people don't want to know who Jesus really is. They want to make him who he is, who they want him to be. They want him to be lovey-dovey, and he puts up with everybody's sins, and he's just going to forgive everything, and there is no sowing and reaping, and there's no, once you're saved, everything's happy, happy, joy, joy, and everybody has $1 million in their back pocket and a jet airplane. That's not God. God says all that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Right? Doesn't say everything's going to be a bed of roses. Everything's going to be sunshine and lollipops. He was seeking the Lord. He was serious about seeing the Lord. He actually put the effort. Yeah. And that's the problem with today. We have been, I believe the radio started it, and the television that was the final nail in the coffin of society. I believe that truly, because they were programs, and what they're doing is programming people. Say, well, I don't listen to that. I read my Bible. They're programming you to think a certain way. And you know what it is? They're programming you to be entertained. You know why most people go to church? To be entertained. I mean, if I get up here, if I could river dance and do that and jump around and sing a couple hip-hop songs and maybe play a electric guitar and maybe get a couple cheerleaders up here and then tell you all you're all good people and the Lord loves you and he's going to put money in your bank. All you got to do is give me $1 million and he'll give you $10 million. Boy, I could just hop around here and just, what kind of music you like, Jim? What kind of music you like? We'll have a little bit of everything in here. Everybody will be happy, and then boy, and that's not Jesus. That's not church. People want to be entertained. You know what they don't want? Oh, they had a bad week the week before. They're probably half hung over in the church on Sunday morning, half of them anyway, because of Saturday night, because, they squeeze in their last sin and go get it under the blood, try to, or confess it to some man or whatever. But then they come in on Sunday morning, and the last thing they want to hear the first day of the week is that they're sinners. The last thing they want to think about is all the vile things they've done the last week. The last thing they want to think about is they might need to get right. They just want to be entertained. You know what they want? They want teachers, not preachers. And I like teaching. I think we should teach. The Bible says you should be apt to teach. But if that's all you're doing and there's no preaching against sin, you're wasting your time. But Zacchaeus, he was seeking the Lord. He was serious about seeing the Lord. Look at verse 5 and 6. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down. He was serious about obeying the Lord. He got a good view of the Lord, and he heard what the Lord said, and he did exactly what the Lord said to do. He didn't mess around. He wasn't up there checking bird nests and looking for squirrel holes. The Lord said, hey, make haste and come down. You know what he did? He made haste and come down. You know what happens in most churches? Most churches that preach the truth, I'm not talking most churches, that's not true. Most churches, they get their ears tickled. They have the rock concert. And it boggles my mind, because a lot of the people that I've met over the years that went to church, I mean, I had a relative that was married to a guy that delivered beer for Budweiser. They were in church every Sunday. Could you imagine that? Aren't we a mess? And all this stuff, the apostasy that's going on in these last days, the heresy that's going on in these last days, The devil's not focused on the Catholics and the Lutherans and the Presbyterians and the Methodists and the Southern Baptists. He's focused on the Bible-believing Baptists, the people that actually believe the book to get you off course. He wants you to think that, oh yeah, you can sell stuff that's got pot leaves on it. You can deliver alcohol. You can drink a little wine for your infirmities, you know. You know, I had a rough week. That's an infirmity. Maybe I ought to get some booze. People are all messed up. You know why? Because they won't climb the tree to find out who Jesus is. Oh, Jesus drank wine. Oh, quit that. Jesus Christ never served his disciples wine. He said, take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood. Wine is a type, the fruit of the vine, the clear grape juice is a type of the blood of Christ, which is unfermented and perfect. That's what he gave them. Fermented booze is a type of the blood of man. He didn't give them the blood of man. He said, take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood. He didn't give them Mogan David. He gave them grape juice that was pure and clean and right. But Jesus drank wine. Climb the tree. Find out who Jesus really is. Get in the Bible. Look what it says. Learn about some typology. Learn about, hey, you know, and we talk about the Apple iPhone, the big bite out of that apple. First of all, the fruit in the garden wasn't an apple. But the whole world, nobody will climb the tree, so they think it's an apple. So apple says it's good. Since they think it's an apple, we'll put an apple on there. What an apple. I believe it was a grape. Calls a grape tree, a grapevine a tree in here too, by the way. But we can get in that, it's a whole other study. But nobody will climb that tree. Nobody's willing to climb that tree and find out who Jesus is. Oh, they want to, it's filtered through the crowd what everybody else thinks. How about personally finding out who Jesus is? You know, you don't get saved by finding out, by getting salvation through a group. Amen. Well, I've been this, that, and the other, and I've been belonging to this church, that church, and the other church. Do you belong to Jesus Christ, though? That's the question. I was talking to a girl on the phone the other day, and I said, you know, hey, talked to her about salvation, went through the plan of salvation. I said, you'll make sure you're ready. She goes, I told her she was a sinner like we all are. Jesus Christ died, shed his blood, was buried, rose again. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you can know you're going to heaven. I said, do you? And you know what she said? I just spent 2 minutes telling her what the Bible said. You know what she said? Oh, I'm good. I've been baptized. Oh, the devil probably gets baptized every week. He's probably down at the Church of Christ getting wet today. Baptism doesn't save you. Salvation will give you a spiritual baptism, but baptism in the water doesn't save you. You know what the problem is? People won't climb that tree. They won't climb the tree. They don't care who Jesus is. They want Jesus to be who they want him to be so they can live the way they want to live. They can stay the way they are. They can be happy in their sin. And to me, if you're happy in your sin and there's no recourse for it, no conscience about it, no nothing about it, no guilt, you're probably just lost. Amen. Because the Holy Spirit of God lives in you, he's going to tell you when the filth is in there. How do I know? He does it to me. And he'll do it to you too. You ever get going down through the aisle at Walmart and see, we're so used to being programmed. And a song comes on from the 70s, and you're like, your flesh is like, hey, I like that. And in the spirit, you're like, man, I can't wait to get to heaven. We can sing, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Because this just irritates me. Because we're in a battle between the flesh and the spirit. And something inside us, that new man, says, hey, this does not glorify Jesus Christ. And the flesh is like, yeah, but... And the spirit's like, I can't wait to get out of here. Amen? I don't think half those people, or probably more than half those people that go to those rock concert churches are even saved. It makes me want to throw up when I'm around that stuff after a while. I don't see how they can call that worshiping God. I mean, they're worshiping a God, there's no doubt about it. But they won't climb the tree to see who Jesus really is. Seeking the Lord, serious about seeing the Lord. He's serious about obeying the Lord. He said, Zacchaeus, come down. He immediately come down. Look at verse 6 again. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. He was serious about receiving the Lord. People aren't serious about receiving the Lord anymore. They don't even know who he is. And they don't care. They don't care. I talk to people all the time. Oh, yeah, you know, that's good for you. And I used to believe something like that. I used to, you know, but that Bible and, you know, oh, okay, yeah, I'm hoping God will let me in. Maybe I'll be good enough. They're not serious about Jesus Christ. They're not serious about receiving the Lord. Zacchaeus was serious about receiving the Lord. He said, make haste and come down. He made haste and come down. He received him joyfully. I've heard people, yeah, I'm saved. Really? I mean, I have bad days too. Right? I had quite a few of them. But I'm still saved. Amen? I'm still headed to heaven. I'm still waiting for the rapture that most of the churches are trying to steal from me. Oh, there's no rapture. Or there's a rapture after the tribulation. No, there's a rapture of the church anytime, and I'm waiting for it. That's my hope. That's our hope. They won't climb the tree. They won't climb the tree to see who Jesus is. They won't get in that Bible and find out what it really says. They want to be entertained. They want the preacher to tell them what to believe. And they want to just tell me happy, good things, and I will believe that, and I will just leave my Bible on the dusty shelf with the dust cover, and that's fine. And that's why in this day and age, if you find a church of Bible believers that's over 40 or 50 people, it's an amazing event. I mean an amazing event, because we've been programmed through the radio, through the TV, and now the me phones to be entertained. Entertained. How entertaining do you think it's going to be when they're standing before God at the white throne judgment, and he says, you're guilty here, you're guilty here, you're guilty here, you're guilty here. Here was an opportunity to get saved. Here was an opportunity to get saved. Here was another person witness to you. Here was this guy planting, this woman watering. I was wanting to give the increase. You didn't take me seriously. You wouldn't climb that tree. You didn't care who I was. You wanted to live like hell and be like the devil, and now you're going to spend eternity with him, cast him in the lake of fire. How entertaining is that going to be? Whew. You realize it said God shall wipe away all tears? It's going to be after that. That's going to be a sad time, because people won't climb that tree. He was serious about receiving the Lord. Look at verse 8. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. He was serious about ministering to others. Zacchaeus said, the half of my goods. And he was a tax collector. People didn't like him. They just kind of add a little bit on for themselves, you know, stealing from people and stuff. And they didn't like him. They called him a sinner because he was a tax man. So he says, the half of my goods I give to the poor. What's the most important thing you have as a saved person? I'm not just talking about after eternal life. The gospel. The riches of the saved is the truth of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the call to preach the gospel, the call to spread the truth, the good news about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection for sinners. You know what Zacchaeus said? I'm giving to the poor. You know who the poor are? The people that are on their way to hell. It doesn't matter what they drive, doesn't matter where they live, doesn't matter what they're wearing. Those poor people are going to burn in hell. So why can't offer them anything? They got $1 million and a Jaguar. You can give them the truth. Now look, I struggle with this. I'd much rather go to the ghetto and witness to people that will listen than to try to sword fight with these people in the fancy houses, because most of them don't want to hear it and they don't think they need anything until they're drawing their last breath. But I do have trouble witnessing. I'd rather go to the poor folks. I'd rather go where the fish are biting. Amen. I'd rather go to the jail than go to the mansion. I'd rather go to the ghetto than go to the Bill Gates neighborhood. And the poor people are often the people that have all the money, because they have no Jesus. They have no need to climb that tree. They don't care who Jesus is. They're their own God. Their God looks just like, I don't know who's on a $100 bill, but that's who their God looks like. Maybe a $1,000 bill. You know, they do print those still. I think I've seen one once in a museum or something. But what would I do with a $1,000 bill? I'd stay up all night with a loaded firearm guarding it. $1,000 bill, what'd you carry those things around in your wallet, you know? But they won't climb that tree. Zacchaeus was serious about giving to others, and the most important thing you have is truth. And people in 2023, they don't care about giving it to anybody. Don't care about giving it to anybody. He said, well, the rich won't listen. This is a rich man here that climbed the tree. You see what it said? And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Worldly speaking, he had everything, and he went and climbed that tree to see who Jesus was. He was serious about ministering to others. Look at verse 8 again. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, there's that tax collector thing, I restore him fourfold. I think the IRS owes me a lot of bit, but anyway. He was serious about being right with God. That's an Old Testament law. If you take something that's not yours, you restore it fourfold. That was in Exodus. I can't remember the exact chapter. Exodus 22:1, it says right here. Exodus 22:1. So Exodus 22:1 said that you restore it. If you steal something from somebody, you restore it fourfold. You know what Zacchaeus said? Hey, I give half of what I have to the poor, and if I take anything by the wrong means, I restore it fourfold. He was serious about being right with God. You know what we lack today? People that are serious about being right with God. Nobody will climb the tree. I mean, I'm nobody. God could replace me with a Balaam's donkey, turn that thing either direction, and do a better job than I'm doing. But I'm going to try to give you the truth. I'm going to lie to you so you can go home in your sin and wallow in it and then return to it every day like a dog returning to its vomit and be happy about it and come in on Sunday and me pat you on the back and say, love, love, love. I want you to be right with God. Because you're going to stand before him one day. It could be today. It could be today. And say we look around and say, well, this person's that age, this person's that age. Age doesn't matter. Obvious health issues don't necessarily matter. You seen the people they've been, these athletes been dropping off like flies, heart attacks and stuff all around the world. I mean, I think there's a common denominator we're not going to talk about, but I mean, there's some problems there. You say, well, what did they think? Well, Pistol Pete Maravich, all those years and years and years and years ago. I think he was, what, 30 years old? Fell over dead on a basketball court. You'd looked at him and said, man, there's a prime specimen of athleticism right there. And that guy was an amazing basketball player. Fell over. You could be standing before God today. Today. Think about that. Think about all the churches in the world that are preaching a false gospel, following the wrong Jesus, preaching love, 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 and people every day walk out of some church and go die and go to hell. And people walk out of some churches and they die and they'll stand at the judgment seat of Christ and have nothing for eternity to show for it, for their life, because they were never given the truth. And the truth is they were just too lazy to climb that tree. If Zacchaeus wouldn't have climbed that tree, he would have never saw Jesus. Too lazy to climb that tree. Serious about being right with God? Look at let's read 9 and 10. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is the son of Abraham. There it's taken back to an Old Testament name. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Isn't that something? The Lord was seeking to save the lost. Now, we talked about this before. We'll talk about it again. In John chapter number 10, Jesus Christ, Matthew chapter number 10, I'm sorry, Jesus Christ sent his disciples to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He didn't send them to the Gentiles. Jesus Christ in John chapter 15, or Matthew chapter 15, he said, I go not but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Who was he talking to? Zacchaeus was one of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's who he's talking to. You know, his ministry was to Israel. To Israel. In Matthew chapter number 15, the woman comes to him and asks him to heal, I believe it was her daughter. And he said, it's not meet to cast the I can't remember the people's bread to the dogs, because the Gentiles are dogs. He wasn't going to the Gentiles. He was going to the Jews. And she said, yea, Lord, but. And then she talked about eating crumbs off the master's table. You know what he told her? That her faith, because of her faith, it was going to be done. What she asked was going to be done because of her faith. He didn't tell Zacchaeus anything about faith. Zacchaeus was talking about his works. Isn't that something? And the people that he gave the law to and the prophets to, the Old Testament Jews, they rejected him. And he had the dogs coming after him. Us. Oh, Lord. I'm nobody. You're everything. He said, I like that. But he came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He came to seek and save that which was lost. In John chapter number 10, matter of fact, me and Scott were talking about this the other day. In John chapter number 10, we'll look over there for just a second. In John chapter number 10, verse 14 through 16, Jesus Christ said, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, there's the Gentiles, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. There's no Jew or Gentile in Christ in the church age. We're all in Christ. We all become children of God. We're all adopted into the family of God. We all become the church. We all become the body of Christ. We all become the bride of Christ. We're one in Christ. That's what he's talking about, one fold. He said he knew he was going to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and he knew that if they rejected him, he was going to the church. And he knew they were going to reject him. John chapter number 1. Verse 11 and 12, he came into his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Right there. He's talking about the church in John, early in John. Anybody that believes on his name. You know the Lord's still seeking to save the lost? He came to Israel to save Israel as a nation and be their king. He was their Messiah. They rejected him. And because they rejected him, he turned to the whole world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Turned to the whole world. He died for the whole world. You know what John Calvin knows now? Jesus Christ died for the whole world. Not just some people that he chose to go to heaven, some people he chose. He died for everybody. He died for the whole world. In 1 John chapter 2, it tells us that Christ is the propitiation for the sins of the world. So he's satisfied the sin debt of the world. He paid the sin debt of the world. He didn't just pay Israel's debt. He didn't just pay my debt. He didn't just pay your debt. He just didn't pay, maybe part of the people's debt. He paid everybody's debt. You know what the problem with this world is? They won't climb that tree. They don't want to see Jesus. They don't want to see Jesus. They want to see Will Smith. Was he the one that slapped or done the slapping? He slapped the other guy, didn't he? That was kind of cool, I guess. You see Hollywood crowds slapping each other around? That's probably all right. Slap some sense into each other. Maybe they'll climb the tree. He said, when I got... Oh, Kanye West, he changed his name to Duh or something. I don't know what he changed his name to something. Jerry Gard, you said that guy's lost a bag full of hammers. You don't know what, he'd never climb that tree. You don't know who Jesus is. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. And you got these guys, the internet, John MacArthur and Vody Vocum, whatever you pronounce these guys' names, and people are like, man, these guys are Bible scholars. I mean, if you took all the Bible they knew, you could put it in a thimble. If you took what they thought they knew, you couldn't pack this church. You'd be coming out the windows of this church. They don't rightly divide. They think most of them guys on there think we replaced Israel. You know what they think? Now you tell me if you find this in the Bible. I guarantee you can. They think that circumcision in the Old Testament is replaced with a spiritual circumcision that is actually water baptism. Now you got to lose some brain cells to think that way. So they think now our outward thing of circumcision is water baptism. man, they're great Bible scholars. No, no, the devil's just using them to mess people up. Just to mess people up. Because people would rather do that. And COVID helped a lot because now people can stay home and watch whatever preacher they want on TV. They don't have to go to church. And they're comfortable with it. Matter of fact, they've been shamed into going outside. There's a lot of old folks out there that went to church their whole life that will never go again because they think if they leave the house, they're killing everybody. Or the boogeyman's going to get them. The Bill Gates boogeyman's going to get them, amen. They think that, they've been guilted into staying out of church. And a lot of churches close their doors and will never open back up. And then, we'll put it online. Well, that's great. I mean, if you got somebody that can't get out of the house, I mean, they absolutely can't get out, and you got a Bible-believing church, and they're streaming it online, and they're watching it online, and they can call that guy and talk to him and ask him questions or text him or whatever. Praise the Lord, they got an opportunity to hear the Word of God. But they also have an opportunity to go, no, eeny, meeny, mighty, mo, don't like this one, to here I'll go. Ah, that one there sounds good. I like a little bit of what Joyce Meyer said. I like a little bit of what Joel Osteen says. I like a little bit of what Kenneth Copeland, he's a little creepy, but I like a little bit of what he says. And he's rich, so he's got to be successful as a man. And then you got to go over here to this church, and it says that there is no dispensations. And these people over here say there's no, water baptism can save you. And these people over here, they say we're under the law. I believe a little bit of all of it. I'll just blend it all together like a four-year-old finger painting. They won't climb the tree. They just want to be entertained. It's like a Baptist at a buffet. Amen. I'm going to get everything that's bad for me. Third plate. I don't want any of that good stuff. That's what they do on the internet. I want what makes me feel good right now. You know what makes me feel good right now? Sometimes it's peanut butter cookies and vanilla ice cream. Have you ever noticed something? When you load up on that, you feel terrible later. And there are people on the internet just eating up the peanut butter cookies and vanilla ice cream, and they're going to feel terrible later. Because they were too lazy to climb that tree to see who Jesus really is. Amen. You know what else? When you get up that tree, you can see what's coming. You know, the people on the ground, they couldn't see down the road. You climb that tree, you can see down the road. Let me tell you what's down the road. If you're lost, if you never trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, there's a lake of fire forever. If you're saved, down the road shortly, there's a rapture. Praise God, we'll be out of here. The judgment seat of Christ, though. So what are you doing for the Lord now? Because when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to find out what you really did for the Lord and what you really did for the flesh. Amen. You can see down the road when you get up that tree. You know what else you can see? When you get up that tree and you start looking out there, you can see Jesus. He's not just your Savior. You get on down that road, you can see down that road and you can see the King of Kings sitting on his throne on this earth. People say, well, there's no literal millennial reign. It's because they're too lazy to climb the tree. They go on TV, they go on the internet, they've been listening to these Robert Schulers and these Joel Osteens and Joyce Meyers and Kenneth Copelands and all these nuts and these crazy wackos that are on there now and John MacArthur, and they get on there and they look like they're mean and they've got some authority and they say something and they could say, oh, it's dark out right now, and half the people look out the window and see the sun and go, well, he must have meant that. It must be dark out because of the way he said it. You know what everybody liked about Obama? Well, I didn't like anything about Obama except when he left. But you know what most people liked about Obama? His voice. His voice. He had the angel of light voice, didn't he? He'd get on there, boy, and he could talk, and he could talk the slang, he could talk it straight, he could talk the rich thing, he could talk the college thing a little bit. He wasn't that sharp, but he sounded like it. When he said something, it was like he knew what he meant. It's like he believed it. And he said stuff that was just right out wicked, and people were like, wow. They didn't even hear the words. They just heard the tone. I had a guy tell me in the jail one time up in Bowling Green. He said, I normally don't believe what you're preaching, but I believe it today. He said, and I believe you believe it. And I said, because I know it's true. Amen? Because somewhere along the line, I had to climb that tree. I still got to climb it to get the right view of Jesus Christ and the right view of this Bible. The Lord is seeking to save that which is lost. Today, Revelation chapter 13 says He is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Do you realize before the world's founded, He died for you? I mean, it was already as good as done because God's outside of time. That was His plan. Ain't nobody going to change God's plan but God. He's changed it a couple times. Moses talked to Him. He changed it once. He's changed it a couple times. He was willing to change it in John, or in Acts chapter 7, when Stephen was preaching to Israel. But they didn't accept Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was standing up at the right hand of God. God the Father was willing to change His plan and go back to Israel, and He didn't because they rejected Him. I'm glad He changed His plan coming to the church age. Amen. You know what the problem is? People are lazy. People are lazy. People are selfish, self-righteous, self-absorbed, self-worshipping. You've probably heard this too. I've probably heard it 1,000 times. Well, I work hard all week, and Sunday's my day. Sunday's my day. I sleep in. I do what I want on Sunday, which means they're up taking whatever they can to get rid of their hangover half of the day on Sunday, and then going out and doing something else, trying to rush whatever joy they can try to get in before Monday, so they can get to the next Friday and Saturday to abuse their body again and defile themselves. Because Jesus drank wine. Oh, good night. They won't climb that tree. They won't climb that tree, will you? First of all, you all might outlive me. I don't know. I might not be your preacher. You could be, I mean, Scott's a good man. He could take care of you if something happened to me. But Do you have a relationship with God through this Bible on your own right now? Or are you counting on me a couple times a week to give you something? I mean, I could walk out, I could fall dead right here. Praise God, if He takes me home, I'm going home anyway. So if you're counting on me for Wednesday and Sunday, you're going to be in trouble. Well, Scott, he'll pick it. I believe he could handle it. But you'd be on a mission with him instead of me. But the thing is, what if Scott wasn't here? What if I wasn't here? What if Scott wasn't here? What if they said, you leave your house, we'll shoot you. If there's something else, something else got loose, right? It jumped from a kangaroo to a possum to a Baptist to a Pentecostal. And now when you walk out, you fall in tongues and you fall over. And if anybody's around when you talk in tongues, you're all gone. So you can't leave your house. And the internet went down, and Frontier's going to fix it. So within 6 weeks, you ought to have it back. What's your relationship with the Lord going to be in 6 weeks? I mean, have you been programmed to the point where you just want somebody to entertain you and somebody else to feed you? What does Paul say? When I was a child, I thought as a child. A child sits around and wants somebody else to feed him everything. And look, I thank God for people that show up and want to do the Bible studies and preach, listen, that will put up with the preaching and all that stuff. I praise the Lord for that. But you got to climb that tree on your own. Zacchaeus didn't go down to the Lutheran church and say, "Who's Jesus?" He didn't go down to the Pentecostal church and say, "Who's Jesus?" He said, "I'm going to climb that tree and I'm going to find that Jesus guy. I'm going to see who he is." And when he put the effort out, Jesus said, "Hey, come here. I'll come to your house." Amen. But you got to climb that tree. Father, we love you and thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for this Bible. Help us not to just be people wanting our ears tickled and people that just have a desire to be fed, but help us to get in there and get in your word and get something from you and study this book and have a personal relationship with you one-on-one. Lord, as Zacchaeus did, Lord, help us to give us the desire and the wisdom to know we need to climb that tree, find out who Jesus is, have a personal relationship, and Lord, not to see you through the filter of the others, through the filter of this world, but to see you through your word. Thank you for your word. Bless it. And give us all a heart for it. Bless these folks, keep them safe. Bless all the folks that couldn't make it. Lord, just have your hand and power on them. We thank you for them. Bless the folks that are here. Give them a good day in the Lord. Give us a good day in the Lord. Strengthen us as we go forward. And come get us out of here, Lord. This place, I do feel like it's a dumpster turned upside down. Lord, even so, come, Lord Jesus. But help us to minister to those that are without in the meantime. In Jesus' name, amen.